Again, my name is Damon. I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August the 10th of 2004. And I actually came in here as an atheist, which makes for a very interesting way of coming into AA. And I've since retired. I remember as one time I was at the Breakfast Club and I introduced myself as a retired atheist. It began to be too much work to explain away all the things that seemed to happen in my life as a result of following what Bill originally called in the original version of the 12th step. He said it as a result of this course of action, which I kind of like. What I wanted to do is have a little fun here. Does everybody have a copy of one of these? I've laid it out on the chair. If you don't, there's plenty up here, and there's more, too, if you want to hand them out. This is, if you'll take those and hand them around to anybody that would need one. I originally put this together because somebody at the jail meeting was asking about the St. Francis Prayer. And I'm also, my background, my original undergraduate degree is in history. And I just don't, you know, I find out we have AA lore and we've got AA history. And the two don't always meet, right? The St. Francis Prayer, as we have it on page 99 in the 12 and 12, the only place you see that version is in AA. There's another version that I call the Catholic version, or the one that I just quote, the one as used by Wayne Dyer in one of his, just to give what I find out is I really like both of them together. There's pieces of them, and I love by comparing and contrasting. Now, what this has to do with me is it's almost like the quintessential spiritual tool. And I use it throughout, I really use this all the time. And it is learning how to respond appropriately. Did anybody ever accuse you of not being able to respond appropriately when we were drinking? I mean, that's so much of that's what it was about, not knowing how to behave in certain situations. So I just learned how to misbehave. Anybody else do that? You know, and then if I'm misbehaving so much, I don't have to worry about behaving because everybody just expects me to misbehave. So what I find out for me is this prayer is, I think of it like a quadrangle. Okay, like four squares. There's a left and a right and a top and a bottom to each one of them. And they're actually switch from the top and the bottom. And I do this because it really helps me to memorize these things. And I started out with the prayer where I would write it down and then hand it to people and write it down and hand it to people. And I found out that now it's become part of when I encounter a certain situation, I think, which one of these is this? And then if I respond with the response, or if I'm proactive, then the result always turns out to be favorable. And to me, it really is, I think, a very, very condensed form of the program. So what I want to look at it is the St. Francis Prayer is on the top, Lord, make me a channel of thy peace. So that's the goal. Now, I didn't have that goal when I was drinking. Did you have a goal of being a channel of peace? No, I wanted my way. I want things to go my way. And yet this one says, let me be a channel of peace. And then it describes what I need to do in order to be a peace bringer. Rather than, someone who created calamity in other people's lives. A troublemaker. And today that appeals to me. To be a channel of peace. So it says where there is hatred, and hatred is simply where someone's looking for what's wrong in me or I'm looking for what's wrong in them. I'm a guy who didn't drink alcoholically during the 80s, but I'm a guy who went from being an optimist about the world and about the place and loved to explore things to being a pessimist. What's wrong with my life? What's wrong with my wife? What's wrong with the job? And William James, who did the Varieties of Religious Experience, said that one of the characteristics that someone who goes through a religious experience has is a shift from pessimism to optimism. And I went the reverse. I went from optimism to pessimism. And I figured out that they've never erected a statue to a critic in the history of mankind. They've shot them, they've drawn and quartered them. You know, I thought that me being a critic was an asset. You know, that I could find out your faults and point them out to other people and we could laugh at you. That didn't warm me in terms of my relationships with other people. Because if I'm doing it with one guy, that guy's asking, well, what does he say about me behind my back? So this idea of where there is hatred, I may bring love. Now, what's interesting in the the Wayne Dyer side, what I call the Catholic version, let me be an instrument of that peace. I kind of like channel myself. It's, you know. But it says, where there is hatred, may I sow love. And I've used this before. I had a guy who was, I'm a consultant, and there were several programmers working on it. And one of the programmers, I sent him an email message, and I said, we really need to do this in the database. And he sent something back in big red letters that said, bullshit. You know, and they copied the owner of the company with it and just laid it out as to why I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I paused when I got that, and I thought, what is it about that that disturbs me? And then I realized, I like the guy, you know. Well, I'm at the client's office, he's not, and I'm standing outside in the front, and the client says, what's going on with Bill? And I said, well, he's a professional, he's very passionate about getting the things right for you. You see, what I did is I told the most important person in that relationship what was good about Bill. And it was like that. Only because I've been doing this for a number of years. When I first came in, I just admired, and I started doing this because somebody suggested that they did it. And son of a gun, if it didn't work. And what that was the best possible response, really. And the next day, the owner's in the front seat with somebody else. I'm in the back seat with Bill. I turned to Bill and I said, I got to admire a guy who can put bullshit in big red letters in an email, you know. And he laughed. He said, I had a good time. And I said, let's talk about it. And so we worked it out. So it's about the idea of what is the best possible response. And you look at Bill's writing and find out how many times he either put best possible in there, because he looked at best possible as what our traditions are. Best possible response. Best possible. And I love this because this prayer is the best possible response that I can have to other people. And you know what's great about it? I don't care whether it's a sainthood or any of that stuff. It's easier. It was a lot easier to respond to Bill the way I did than to go and tell that other guy and prove to the owner why I was right and create havoc and tension between us, which would not have helped the owner at all. As it was, the owner didn't even need to know about all the conversation and what went on. So now you can begin to see. But I like this idea. What I did is I sowed love. I told somebody else the good qualities about that person. I'm not. If I do it directly to him, one time I did that. He said, "You're just brown nosing." You know what? He was right. But if I tell somebody else, then it gets me in the practice that when I see him next, I'm going to look for what's good in him because I've been practicing. And it's easier. This isn't harder. This prayer is not a hard way to live. Any other way I've found is hard. And I'm a lazy guy. I want to find out the shortest route. So then, where there is wrong, may I bring the spirit of forgiveness. When somebody's wrong, I don't need to be telling them. They already know they're wrong. I don't need to be telling them. What I do is I bring the spirit of forgiveness. And over here, where there is injury, pardon. And to be pardoned for is that as though it never happened. Right? If you get pardoned for, you know, I know Lyle P. who wrote Grounded in the Big, he got a presidential pardon. I mean, that's like the crime, the thing never happened. So that's real forgiveness there. Now, what's interesting, this next line in the St. Francis Prayer in our version is not at all in the other version, and that is, where there is discord, I may bring harmony. And I like to play guitar, and discord is, I'm just going to play the song away. I want what song I want to play, and I'm not trying to harmonize with the other person at all. I think discord is a great alcoholic word. You know, I think it's a great one for if the specialized prayer just for alcoholics. Yeah, I like that. You know, but harmony is I don't have to play your instrument. I don't have to play your instrument the way you play your instrument. I can play my instrument a certain way, but I can do it in such a way that it enhances what you're playing. But I can still be myself. I can be a servant and help in the overall composition. So where there is error, I may bring truth. If somebody's saying, I'm going to Florida, I'm heading north on 75, I can go, you know, in the past, when I've gone to Florida, I've gone south on 75. So this is a case where the person doesn't know, and I can share my experience. I don't give them advice. I love that. Father Joseph Martin once said, the best advice I can give you is don't give any advice. You know, but I can share my experience, you know. Maybe there's a reason they're going north on 75, I don't know. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. When somebody's in despair, I don't really need to talk about faith. When somebody's in despair, I just need to bring them a little hope. When somebody's in doubt, then I can talk about faith. See, it's very fine-tuned. I just love it, and it works. Where there are shadows, I bring light. Where somebody's confused about something or doesn't know what's going on, or they don't know the other side of the story, I can shed some light on that. You know, I heard a guy talking about steps six and seven, you know, the character defects. I don't work on the character defects. What I do is I bring the light in, and darkness cannot exist in the light. And I love that. So, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy, which for me is something that's uncovered by the process of the steps. It's a natural state of being, uncovered by a process of subtraction, not addition. Happiness has unhappiness. You don't hear a lot of unjoy, right? It's a state of being. And I like that. And then now here's where it switches. So this is the reactive or responsive part of the prayer. Under these conditions, when I encounter them, I can respond this way. The next is the proactive part of the prayer. Lord, grant that I may seek, and this becomes a gift, okay? I can't do this. This is something I have to be willing to receive. It's not really something I can manufacture in me. I seek rather to comfort than to be comforted. That I seek to understand than to be understood. And over on the other side, it's to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand. If I worry about people just don't understand me, what I need to do is, what can I do to help understand you? Just ask about it. Where have you come from? What's it about? What's some of the stuff? I love to walk up to somebody and say, what do you do for fun? You know? And learn to listen, that's a good one for me, learning to listen. That to love than to be loved. So if I want to find love, I give it. And love to me, I love that Greek definition that says look for the good. I've had people I've sponsored and they're in divorce situations and I go, can you name three good things about her? And they'll go, one, maybe two. I said, then name 10. They go, what do you mean name 10? I said, I call them spiritual push-ups. They're either evil incarnate, the devil walking around on the earth, or there's something you're missing. And I found that there's a freedom in that. You know, to be proactive in looking for what's good in another person. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. I had to forgive the guy I used to be. If I'd have known back then, when I was doing all the acting out the way I was, what I know now about this, I wouldn't have done that. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when I finally forgave the guy I used to be, all of a sudden I could cut you some slack. But I had to realize if I'd have known what I know now back then, I really doubt very seriously. I'd have gone and done it the hard way like that. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. And it is by dying to self that we are born to eternal life. I like the contrast between the two. I like seeing both of them together. And seeing dying to self means, this is the idea for me, there's an innermost self, and I have, and it seems to be interconnected with all of you. There's my ego self, which I call the servant to the innermost self. And it gives up the job of managing and becomes a servant to the innermost self. I think that's what awakens. Who I am between my thoughts, who I am between my feelings is what matters. The thing in me that's unchanged since my earliest memories. This thing called life. And I'm reborn to that. All of a sudden, that instead of being that little surface being, that innermost self awakens and is reborn. On the back side, I'll just say that to me, when you look now, with that, and then read page 85, where it says it's easy to let up on the spiritual condition, and you look, every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. It's the proper use of the will. This Saint Francis prayer to me is the proper use of the will. My ego can do these things, because it has to be the one taking the action. But if it agrees that I'm going to behave this way, then it's taking the direction. And then also on page 8788, it again, I think, re-enhances this, saying we become much more efficient. We're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. So to me, they both, it's not that they're different things. I think they're two different ways of stating the same thing. The thing I like for my little ego likes it, because I like things kind of, that it gives me a formula for in this condition, respond this way. Before I go somewhere, proactively seek to understand, proactively seek to console, proactively seek to pardon and forgive. And I don't do this for sainthood, believe me. One thing about a saint, you got to be dead for like 24 years or something. That doesn't appeal to me very much. But I like this as being the easier, softer way. If I live this way, it's much easier than letting my anger lash out at people and then trying to make amends. You know, to be proactive at doing it. And then I'm not spending so much time making up for stuff I did wrong. So that's the floor is yours, opening all up to you guys.
Thank you, Jay.